maybe the freest prison cages than any other country in the world. The lesson of 9/11 should have been to never fund another young rebel group in this part of the world again.
America started as the smallest government in history, and it's become the biggest government in world history.
At the end of the day, it's all about freedom.
Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Kaplan debate. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith, and I am out of studio. I'm here at home. I'm pre-recording this episode because I got to run over to the Soho Forum tonight to watch Brian Kaplan debate about government funding of higher education. So that should be a lot of fun. I always have a good time over at the Soho Forum. And yeah, if you guys aren't in the area, you can watch it live on Reason's Facebook page. They live stream the whole thing, and then usually they're up on YouTube and stuff like that. So yeah, check that out if you can. They're always a lot of fun. Anyway, I have been I've been running around kind of crazy the last few days, so I was not super prepared for today's podcast. I didn't have a whole lot I wanted to talk about, but I did as I tend to do when I'm unprepared. I lean on the good people of our private Facebook group, the Part of the Problem Inner Circle. And so I asked for, I said, hey, what do you guys want to hear me talk about today? And somebody, Eric, posted, so Eric gets credit for this, even though several people sent me this, but Eric sent me an article, which I guess is actually like a few years old. It's from 2014. So I don't exactly understand why, but for some reason, like four or five different people have sent me this article this week. So maybe it's like recirculating around or something like that, but I clicked on it and it's from October 8th, 2014. So I'm not exactly sure why it's going around right now, but it seems relevant. I always like to try to take on some of these articles that are, let's say, disagreeing with what I believe. And this title caught me. I have not read the article, so I'm going to go in fresh. You guys will all get to be a part of this with me as I read it for the first time and go in fresh. But the title is No, It's Not Your Money, Why Taxation Isn't Theft. So, I'll go in with an open mind, and maybe right here, as I record, you guys are going to witness me changing my mind about everything that I believe. Probably not, but possibly I will go in with an open mind. We'll see. Maybe I will be convinced today that it's not your money and taxation isn't theft. And of course, if I was convinced of that, I think I would have to abandon the whole libertarian thing because that's kind of right at the center of it. So anyway, I'll go through that article in a little bit and we'll see what the argument is. Before I get into that, there are a couple of things that are on my mind that I aren't going to take me a long time, I don't think, but that I thought I would just talk about, you know, quickly. And by the way, I hope there's no issues with this episode. The last episode, as you guys know, that I recorded at home, it was skipping around a bunch, and I'm not exactly sure why it was doing that. So I have no other programs running on my computer, and I'm keeping a close eye on the audio feed. We seem to be okay so far, so hopefully we get through this one with none of those issues. Okay, so a couple things. Number one, today they just they opened American embassy in Jerusalem, and Donald Trump didn't go, but like Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, they went. He sent the Jews and his family out to go be a part of it, and it's an interesting moment for sure. And so I guess there was a big uprising of angry Palestinians who are, whether you've noticed or not, they're not exactly thrilled with Israel and the way the Israelis have treated them and pretty much Israel, you know, existing, at least with the current borders that they have. And the Israeli military like put them down. So it's hard to tell yet exactly how many people are dead, but it looks like a couple thousand people were injured and at least a few dozen were killed. And it was just kind of a crazy moment I was just watching the White House press conference, and the White House just comes out and they just go, "No, it's Hamas's fault. That's it." And even some of the reporters were like, "Well, so does Israel have no? There's no blame on Israel here, like none." And they're just like, "Nope, our position is that it's Hamas's fault." And I mean, I don't know, man. Now a lot of people are describing the Palestinians as protesters. Look, I can understand where, you know, it's a little bit different than just a protest. I mean, at least in the way we think of it, they're not sitting there holding picket signs. They're throwing rocks and stuff like that. But they're throwing rocks at a wall, and the Israelis are sniping them out as they do this. And they're hitting them with tear gas and all this other kind of stuff. And I don't know, man. Does it not seem a little bit strange to people that there would be that particularly people who are already leaning libertarian, or at least open to hearing about the libertarian, you know, way of thinking about things, which I assume pretty much encompasses everybody on this show. But would you really? You've got a government military that just has just, you know, killed dozens of people, something like 50-something people, I believe they're saying, are dead. Who knows? It's literally just happening today, so we'll get more information, I'm sure, you know, in the next few days. But, so they just kill a whole bunch of people, thousands injured, and it's just decided immediately that they have no responsibility for that? Really? Doesn't that seem a little bit, like, a little bit quick to judge? And to just absolve someone of responsibility of killing people? Like, isn't it pretty standard for all human beings that if you kill someone, there's a fairly high bar of having to display in some way that this was necessary? Nope, I guess not when it's the Israelis. No problem. And just go ahead and kill them. And I don't know, man, it's just, you know, we'll see how things go over there. These things always seem to kind of flare up and then die back down. But I know sometimes, you know, even in my circles, I'll get some shit because there's a lot of people who are like pro-Israeli and they side with Israel over the Palestinians or whatever. And I certainly, you know, if I was judging the culture of which one I would rather live in, I'd certainly rather live in Israel than Palestine. But I mean, goddamn. I really recommend for any of you guys out there who are the ones who just really support Israel, go listen to some of the testimonials of ex-Israeli military who tell you about their treatment of the Palestinian people. And just think to yourself, if you grew up in some area that was completely locked down and controlled by an occupying military force, and they're running around and you know, screaming curfew at your grandmother, and she's got to get inside immediately or be arrested. I don't know. Is it really that far of a stretch to think that you'd probably be right there throwing a rock as well? And anyway, look, I just, it was crazy to me that the White House's position is just right away, nope, it's Hamas. Is there even any evidence that this was organized by Hamas? I mean, what are we talking about here? You're just that quick to absolve the military who just killed a bunch of people? It's amazing the double standard that applies to the militaries that are our allies, and then any government who's not on Team USA. If you're not on Team America, you know, any act of aggression at all is like this huge threat. But if you're on Team America, it's like whatever, just mow down a few dozen people, no big deal. It's all their fault anyway. Anyway, that. It was crazy to me to watch that White House press briefing. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to talk about briefly was this stuff about John McCain being insulted by a member of the Trump administration. And it is, you know, it's... So just a couple quick things and, you know, nothing too much. But number one, it's amazing how everybody, all of a sudden, the you know, the mainstream media, whether it's left or Fox News, which are basically the options, so whether it's, you know, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, New York Times, Washington Post, all these guys, they're all in agreement that, man, you better worship at the altar of John McCain. Like, if you insult John McCain, you're just, that's just a terrible human being right there. And it's amazing how the thing I'll never get past is how somebody, you know, this has been a theme of mine since I started this fucking show, but it never, you know, it gets boring to me after a while, but it's like, it's so dominant in our culture that I can't fucking shut up about it. But it's like, man, if you say the wrong thing, you get blasted. But if you advocate for mass murder, no big deal. That's just like a policy difference, or in many cases, a policy everyone seems to agree on. But it's like, you can advocate for wars, you can vote for wars, you can push for policies that result in mass slaughter. And you know it. I mean, like, that's what the policy is. It's not even like, oh, you're for, you know, like, it's not like you're for socialized healthcare and that ends up, you know, costing a lot of people and, like, a lot of people die because your economic system doesn't work or something like that. It's like war. It's like straight up the policy is mass slaughter and you support it over and over and over again. And that's no big deal. But man, for you to criticize the guy who supports war over and over and over again, that's just, man, that's a line too far. Like, John McCain is, I mean, this is, it's not an exaggeration, he is the poster boy for supporting every single war. He supports every single war, and then his only problem is that we didn't war it up even more. His only problem is we didn't drop more bombs, we didn't start more wars. This is the guy who said he wants to stay in Iraq for 100 years, he wants to bomb Iran, he wants every fucking war you can think of. No big deal. Even after all the fucking wars, even when they know they were a fucking disaster, even when they know, oh, we never should have fought that war in Iraq, you know? Like, even the mainstream media, I mean, there's a couple people out there, but even the mainstreamers, they can't even hang on to that one because it's just so transparently a horrific mistake. So even they can't hold on to that one. You know, it's like when all the torture stuff was coming up with Gina Haspel over the last couple weeks. Even people who are, like, defending it or defending her or defending, you know, the, like, you know, well, we can't blame the rank and file. You know, we can't blame people who tortured other people. What, are we going to hold them accountable for that? They were following orders. It's just like, what's her name? Christine, what's her name? The former New York City Council woman who I was arguing with on Essie Cupp's show. It's the Nuremberg defense for all of them. Doesn't matter. Orders were given. And we were just following orders. So, you know, can't possibly be upset with those people. All they did was torture other people. But even in the mainstream media, Christine Quinn, but even in the mainstream media, when they're like defending these people, what do they keep saying? They're like, well, you have to think about the time. You know, this was right after 9/11, and we were all, you know, convinced that another attack was imminent. So, you know, in other words, we were scared. We were scared, so we tortured people. Well, what, are you still mad now? I mean, we were scared. What are you gonna do? So anyway, it's even that, like, you can't even defend these policies now. But anyway, so the guy who supports every single fucking war, he's fine. And, you know, this is a thing I'll never get. And it's like, it's such bullshit. Like, I just called bullshit on this whole thing. It's like, David Duke is the most evil human being on the planet. He is pure scum. If you're even at a fucking meeting with him, you're scum too. You know, Richard Spencer, that guy's just a piece of shit. I mean, fuck him. I mean, he says racist things. Maybe even advocates for racist policies. But John McCain, I mean, that's just a reasonable American hero. All he does is advocate for the mass slaughter of entire nations, entire peoples. But, you know, that's just like a reasonable position. And by the way, like, I'm a Jew, not a big fan of David Duke. You know, not a big fan of a lot of Richard Spencer's policy ideas either, you know? Okay, but how could it possibly be that that is more of a moral outrage than John McCain? How could it possibly be? What is this? Like a fucking, a fucking 8-year-old's level of moral outrage? Who is actually more morally outraged by someone not liking another group of people versus someone who advocates slaughtering another group of people? I don't know. It's like this point is almost getting boring to me, but I'm sure I'm going to have to keep making it.
I'm sure this won't be the last time I'll make it, because this is the dumb fucking society that we live in, that this is where our moral compass lies. So, anyway, whatever. I just think it's goddamn insane. And, yeah. Okay. There we go. Oh, and the other thing about it that I should probably say, but I guess it should be pointed out, the irony of all of it is that it's the one time John McCain is right. It's the one time that he's actually right about an issue, so he's against torture. Because it happened to him, basically. So John McCain's for every horrific thing the military can do, except the one thing that happened to him. If only John McCain had, you know, grown up in a war-torn village that someone had bombed the crap out of, then maybe he would be against that, too. If only. But, you know, he wasn't. He was like a wealthy kid, so he's fine with all that stuff. But the one thing that happened to him. But regardless, that is the issue he's right about. And so this is what it was all about, was he wouldn't support... confirming torture or Gina. So, okay, fine. So he's actually right about this issue. And then the other thing is that, you know, of course, MSNBC is having a field day with reporting, oh, you know, Trump administration said something mean. So that's the biggest outrage ever. I was just watching them this morning. And they actually go, the White House is complaining about the leaks. But isn't that beside the point? Which, of course, yeah, it's completely beside the point that there are people within the administration actively trying to undermine it when it's Trump. But regardless of that, they go, and this is just the great, like, 2018 progressive mantra, but they go, you know, if Donald Trump, if they had just come out and publicly apologized about this, we wouldn't even be talking about this story now. Which is such fucking bullshit. It is such bullshit. If he came out and apologized for it, they would fucking pounce on him. They would pounce on him. This is like such a key lesson. If you're outside of this like leftist, progressive, social justice warrior, identity politics world, if you're outside of that at all, the number one lesson is never apologize. Never fucking apologize to these people. No matter what. Just do not. Because it's not, it's like, cutting yourself in shark-infested waters. That's it. Once they see that you're admitting some sign of guilt, they will fucking pounce on you. They will pounce on you immediately. No question about it. That's what's happening to you. Can you imagine if anyone from the Trump administration, if they came out and were like, yes, we said this, it was horribly wrong. It's the whole story would be like, even they admit it's horribly wrong. But of course, they'll say now, this is their excuse for why they can keep covering this endlessly and not cover any of the actual news that's going on. Anyway, it's all fucking insane, so, you know, that's what it is. Alright, moving along. So, let's get to this article. Let's see how this goes. So, okay, so the piece, and again, I'm not quite sure because this piece was written in 2014, but several people have sent it to me this week, so I don't know if it's getting posted around or whatever, but anyway, let's dig into it and see what it's about. So the title is, No, It's Not Your Money, Why Taxation Isn't Theft. I haven't read any more of it since then. I will say, let me just poison the well for a little bit, but I'll keep an open mind. Like I said, maybe I could be convinced. Maybe taxation isn't theft. After all, maybe there's just going to be some killer argument here that I'm going to have no response to. You're going to hear me read it live, and I'm just going to be like, holy shit, that is a really good point that I've never thought of before, okay? But in my experience, whenever I get sent these articles, usually when people are critiquing libertarianism, which I assume that's what this is, because it's saying taxation isn't theft, and who the fuck except us actually believes taxation is theft? Who besides libertarians ever says that? But usually, when I read these articles critiquing libertarians, it falls into, like, a couple different categories. Either number one, it's just, like, ad hominems, you know what I mean? It's just like attacking people is like with nasty names, like you're evil or you're this or that. Number two, it completely misrepresents what libertarianism is and just doesn't really attack any of the main issues. Or number three, it's a really, really dumb argument. if you could even call it an argument. That's been my experience in the past. Now, this one, I have to say, I doubt it's going to be number one or number two, just because the title of the article is so direct and to the point. No, it's not your money. Why taxation isn't theft. So if that's, you know, I mean, that doesn't seem like, it seems like they're actually taking on what our argument is. And so it's either going to fall into that third category of what I was saying, where it's just a really dumb argument, or this is going to blow my fucking mind, and this is going to change my opinion about everything. It seems to me that those are the two options here. Who knows? Who knows? I will try my best. I'm as biased as anybody else. I don't claim not to be, but I will try my best to keep an open mind about this subject, okay? So let's go into it and see what we got. The article is written by Nick Shaxson. Cool last name, Nick. Let me start off with that already. Shaxson. I like it. Strong. Okay. Or wait, hold on. Is it? It says by Nick Shaxson, but then it says a guest blog by Philip Goff. So I don't understand who wrote this. Well, one of those two people wrote it. Okay. No, it's not your money. Why taxation isn't theft. Many political arguments start from the assumption that taxation is the government taking, quote, our money off us. When austerity hit the arts in 2011, Dr. Steve Davies of the pseudo think tank, the Institute of Economic Affairs, argued on Channel 4, a mainstream UK television current affairs program. Yes, Channel 4. Well, everybody knows in 2014, you might have had to remind people, but everybody knows who Channel 4 is now in this Jordan Peterson world that we live in, because Kathy Newman has become internet famous. Oh, by the way, if you guys want to read this, it's on a site called taxjustice.net. It's a wonderful oxymoron, tax justice. Okay, so this guy, Dr. Steve Davies on Channel 4 argued that a 20% cuts to the arts didn't go far enough. Art funding should be entirely abolished on the grounds that it's unfair to take people's money off them by force to pay for something they may not want. Again and again, the economic right stoke resentments at the state allegedly taking what's ours by force, and use this resentment to build support for a program of small government. Okay, so that's, it's a certain way to kind of characterize it, that you're stoking resentment at the state allegedly taking what's ours, but, oh, okay. So far I completely agree with this guy. Yes, seems to me to be a pretty reasonable argument that you shouldn't steal people's money by force to pay for something they may not want. So I'm kind of on board with this guy, but let's see. Taxjustice.net is about to change my mind. All right, back to the article. But even those who believe in relatively big government tend to share this understanding of taxation as the appropriation by government of, quote, our money. Most on the economic left start from the assumption that it is, all things being equal, a bad thing that the state takes our money from us, but hold that this prima facie bad is justified by the public good which taxation makes possible. Well-meaning UK public intellectual Alan de Botton encourages us to think of taxation as charity. We give up what's ours for the greater good of society. Right. Okay. That's right. And that's just the classic old silly argument. Of course, you know, usually, I mean, I've given some money to charity before. I'm sure a lot of people listening have given money to charity before. And I don't, you know, often remember somebody saying, if you don't give money to this charity, you're going to get thrown into a cage where you're likely going to be raped and tortured and abused and treated like a fucking animal. Which seems to add, that seems to add a different moral component to it, you know? It's like, if you have, you know, sex with a woman, that's one thing. if you have sex with a woman, because you say, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to throw you in a cage where you're going to be abused, you know, and I'm going to put a gun to your head and make you get in there. It just seems to add a different moral component to it. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me being attached to my dogma, because I'm sure a great argument is coming up any second now that's going to convince me that taxation isn't theft. So let's see. Back to the article. So both sides tend to agree that one has some kind of right or entitlement to one's pre-tax income. Imagine that. You have a right to your own money. All right. Sorry. Let me try to give this a chance without being too condescending and smarmy here. The economic right believe that the right to pre-tax income is inalienable, or at least that it is trumped by only the absolute necessity of providing the basic requirements of society, such as roads and rule of law. All right, this sentence already, man, this is always so freaking weird to me when people say stuff like this. Okay, so the economic right believe that the right to pre-tax income is inalienable, or at least that it is trumped only by the absolute necessity of providing the basic requirements of society, such as roads and rule of law. Who are you talking about? This is what always drives me crazy. It's like when they want to go after libertarians, they act like we're in control of everything. The economic right believes that the right to pre-tax income is inalienable, and or at least only trumped by the absolute necessities, basic requirements for society, roads and rule of law. That's it. They think it's an absolute right that you keep all of your income. Maybe we can break with that when it comes to roads or writing laws. Who are you talking about? I mean, it seems like this article has been talking about UK leaders so far. I mean, who is, look, I'll use American politics as an example, but who the fuck are you talking about? The most libertarian, the most right, you know, economic right in this context of, like, taxation as theft would be who? Like Rand Paul, Justin Amash, Thomas Massey? None of them have ever come out and said straight up, you have a right to all of your money, and maybe we'll make an exception for roads and writing laws. I mean, even Rand Paul was, like, talking about arming the Kurds. Rand Paul's big, you know, radical proposal is, like, the penny plan, right? Like, what? It's like, all of a sudden, like, you know, it's like the economic right, as they call them, is now on the spectrum of, like, Murray Rothbard to Jason Stapleton. Like, either you completely have an inalienable right to your taxes, or, you know, maybe we could spend a little bit on roads and stuff like that. Like, what? What are you talking about? The economic right? The people who want to spend $1 trillion a year on a military budget and then will bitch about how that's not enough money for the military? What the fuck are you talking about? Really, where is this? And okay, he's talking about UK. I'm sorry, maybe I'm not up to date on the UK. Where is this parliament full of Murray Rothbards that I'm missing? All of a sudden, it's like libertarians, there's two, like, angles that we get attacked from. It's either like, so libertarians, they're so ridiculous that no one takes them serious. And no one takes them seriously. Oh, and also they're responsible for everything that exists. I don't know exactly what the levels of spending and taxation in the UK are, but here in America, we're spending about $4 trillion a year. That's what the government's spending. We're taking in somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 trillion in tax revenue. $3 trillion is it's a little bit more than just roads and writing laws, you know, just a little bit more. So, you know, but anyway, this is the kind of the image that's painted. Yes, the libertarians are everywhere. We're running society. This society that is fucking, you know, 80% socialist. It's all run by a bunch of fucking, you know, by the economic right. By the way, I wish this description was true. I wish there was a huge right and the whole right believed taxation was theft and you have an inalienable right to your money. All right. In contrast, the economic left tend to value the good of making society more equal or providing a basic standard of living for all above the good of letting people keep their own money. All right. Yeah, okay. I guess I kind of agree with that, except that it's kind of something that the right and left both seem to assert. But a basic standard of living for all above the good of letting people keep their own money. Of course, there's an assumption there that the standard of living will be better if we don't let people keep their money. I'd say that basically all that ends up happening is that, you know, the politically connected get richer and richer, and the standard of living for all seems to stagnate. But okay, let's get back to the article. The feeling that your pre-tax income is, quote, your money is difficult to shake. Yes, it sure is. There's something we can really agree with. Okay. It's hard not to see the pre-tax figure on your pay slip as representing what's really owing to you for the work you've done, and hence to feel that the state is taking away from you something that is yours by right. However, a little careful reflection shows this almost universal assumption to be utterly confused. There is no sense in which you have a right to your pre-tax income. Again, look, I'm open. Still haven't made an argument at all yet, but I'm waiting. I assume there's one that's coming. But I really do have to take objection with the idea that this is a universally understood right. I'm sorry. I guess I was under the impression that I'm a fucking radical. I guess not. I guess this is something everybody just understands. Last time I checked, every single fucking nation that you could think of has an income tax. They've all agreed. There's nobody anywhere who actually respects this right. So if it's universally understood as a right, why is there nowhere that seems to respect this right? I mean, look, like I wish this was true, but it's just not. It's like objectively not. So what? Let's see. All right, let's get back to the article. To see this, we have to ask what kind of right it might be supposed one has to one's pre-tax income. Presumably, it's either a legal right or a moral right. Well, obviously right away, you say it's a moral right. Clearly not a legal right, as I just said, everyone. Okay. Once we separate out these alternatives, we can see that the former option is incoherent, whilst the latter is utterly implausible. Okay, so the former is the one that's implausible. The latter, it being a moral right, is certainly plausible. All right, but again, I can't wait to get to this argument. It's going to change my whole worldview. All right, you clearly don't have a legal right to your pre-tax income, as you are legally obligated to pay tax on it. This is a simple analytic truth that follows from the definition of taxation. People who don't pay their taxes go to jail, right? Yes. Okay. So, right. Obviously. Agree with you completely on that. You do not have a legal right to not pay taxes. Or, you know, I mean, I know there's some people, you know, Erwin Schiff made a whole argument about this. So, but as the law is actually enforced, no, you don't have a legal right. People go to jail for not paying their taxes. That is our whole beef with it. But then again, this right, and I assume he's getting to it in a second. He's getting to this argument that's going to change me forever. But right, it, of course, as I've said many, 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 many times, the legality of something and the morality of something are completely unrelated. So, you know, like, yeah, there's right, like in the fucking, in the United States of America before 1865, slaves didn't have a right to leave a plantation if they didn't want to. They didn't have a right to choose a different career. It was horrifically immoral, but it wasn't a legal right. It was a natural right that was being violated, a moral right. Okay. So, if there is a general right to one's pre-tax income, then it must be a moral right. With you so far. But it is implausible to suppose that each person has a moral right to his or her pre-tax income, for that would imply that the distribution of pre-tax incomes the market happens to throw up is perfectly just. And this is clearly not the case. Oh, Jesus, holy shit. Jesus Christ. All right, let me just read that again. Oh, man, I really hope there's more to the argument than this. Oh God, has this all just been a fucking waste of time, if this is the argument. Okay. But it is implausible It is implausible to suppose that each person has a moral right to his or her pre-tax income, for that would imply the distribution of pre-tax incomes the market happens to throw up is perfectly just, and this is clearly not the case. There is no justice in the fact that pre-tax income of a city banker is many hundreds of times the pre-tax income of a scientist working on a cure for cancer. This is just an accident of the way our market economy is structured. To hold that each person has a moral right to their pre-tax income would be to hold that the market economy just happens to deliver to each person exactly what they deserve, and this is clearly not the case. Oh, God. All right. Well, look, I'm sorry. I really tried to keep an open mind through this, but you have fallen into category three. This is just a fucking dummy, dumb, dumb argument. God damn it. Oh, my God. How are arguments this stupid allowed to be made? And then on top of being made, recorded, and put on paper, and put on the internet for other human beings to see them. How in 2018, or 2014, whenever this trash was written. Okay. Oh, God. I can't even believe I have to take it. I almost feel like I should just bail on this and go to some other topic, because this is so goddamn ridiculous. But now I've spent a bunch of time on this, so I feel like I have to. I have to at least stand back. Okay. To hold that each person has a moral right to their pre-tax income would be to hold that the market economy just happened to deliver each person exactly what they deserve. And this is clearly not the case. Okay, wrong. Wrong. God damn it. How fucking dumb do you have to be to fucking believe this shit? Like, how do you write a whole fucking article on taxation isn't theft and not like understand the argument of what people are saying when they say taxation is theft? Or that it's a moral right to be able to keep your money. Like, how fucking dumb are you? Like, a 10-year-old should be able to understand this. Okay, so to hold that each person has a moral right to their pre-tax income would be to hold that the market economy just happens to deliver each person exactly what they deserve? No. No, it fucking doesn't. It doesn't hold that at all. I don't know exactly what people fucking deserve, and I don't think that people get exactly what they deserve. I don't even know what that means. I don't know. Does LeBron James deserve to get the money that he gets? I don't know. But I know it's immoral to fucking threaten to throw him in jail if he doesn't give it to you. That's all. I don't have to know that it's moral. I don't know. He could be able to dunk over everybody in the NBA. What does he deserve for that? How the fuck would you even measure that? I don't know. People are willing to pay a certain amount for tickets, and different teams offer him different amounts of money, and he accepts one of those offers, and then he gets that money. I don't know what he deserves. I don't know what anybody fucking deserves. Okay, but the idea that if you want it, so it's one more time, I'm just going to read this because this is so goddamn stupid. To hold that each person has a moral right to their pre-tax income would be to hold that the market economy just happens to deliver each person exactly what they deserve. No, 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 no. Okay, can we start with this? Like, do you have a right to your face? I mean, even, right, even if we're going, like, after, like, a full Marxist or socialist or something like that, like, can you own your face? Do you have a right to your face? If I were to say that somebody fucking peeling the skin off of your face and ripping it off of your body is immoral because you have a right to it, okay? It's saying that it's yours. Does that mean that I'm saying that genetics delivered to each person the face that they deserve? No. One has nothing to do with the other. It doesn't matter what you deserved. It doesn't matter if you got it randomly. The point is that you fucking got it without threatening violence or being violent toward any peaceful person. You did a job and somebody else was willing to give you this money for that. And to threaten that person, to throw him in jail, just like you just acknowledged in this article, is what we do to get taxes. Like you just said, it sure as fuck ain't illegal, right? Right? Because we throw people in jail who don't pay these taxes. So you're threatening somebody with violence who hasn't done anything wrong. That's where it's fucked up. What does this even fucking mean? No, this is just an obvious flaw in logic. Holy shit. Holy shit, can someone send me one good article that refutes the idea of taxation being theft, or refutes the non-aggression principle, or private property rights, or anything like that? Is there one out there? Is there fucking one? Jesus. All right, I guess I gotta go through the rest of this because we came this far. Perhaps there are specific cases in which a person happens to deserve their pre-tax income. These would be rare and happy coincidences in which the market happens to deliver exactly what is deserved. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Oh, but government will deliver exactly what is deserved? What is exactly what is deserved? How do you measure that? I guess you just get to decide. But the mere fact that your pre-tax income is X does not entail that any morally significant sense that you are entitled to X. The money the market happens to throw at you is not necessarily the money you deserve. Yeah, same with the government. Same with government spending, right? But whatever. That's all beside the point. No doubt you have worked hard for that money. No doubt you have made a contribution to the public good. Maybe not. Maybe you haven't. You have special talents that others lack, etc. But others also work hard, are talented, make a contribution, and the market has not taken these morally significant factors into consideration in working out what to give to whom. Yes, but of course the state does. Like, they don't just dole out money to politically connected people. They're these moral angels who are just righting the wrongs. So the assumption here is somehow the state knows what people deserve. What is morally deserved by different people, and they can just balance it out because, politicians are just the greatest, most trustworthy, benevolent creatures to ever exist, right? Holy shit. And again, that's even like beside the point because you haven't gotten to the point. It doesn't matter whether you lucked into this money or not. The point is that you're being violent toward people and taking it away from them. Okay. It is the responsibility of lawmakers, then, not to respect pre-tax incomes, but to disrespect pre-tax incomes. Insofar as the market fails to yield a just distribution of incomes, the state should work to correct that distribution. Of course, to some degree, the scope for such corrections will be limited by economic realities. The pragmatic argument between right and left as to the relationship between tax levels and incentives to work or invest is a perfectly sensible one. But it is crucial to distinguish the pragmatic argument of the economic right, we must lower taxes in order to encourage investment, from the moral argument of the economic right, we must lower taxes in order to give people more of their money. The former argument is based on an empirical claim, which stands or falls with the data. The latter argument is based on a wholly confused notion that there is something morally significant about the distribution of incomes the market happens to have thrown up. No, again, it's not really a comment on the morality of incomes that people make. It's a comment on the immorality of threatening to throw a human being in a cage at gunpoint if they don't give you their money. That's it. Jesus fucking Christ. It's like, yes, some people get paid at different rates, and this is because people are voluntarily interacting with each other. Yes, some people are willing to pay more for a service that maybe one of us might look back at and say, yeah, I don't think they should be willing to pay that. Okay, fine. Yes, I think people who work at the Mises Institute should make more money than LeBron James, right? That's what I think, honestly. Like, I really, really, really honestly think that. I think that Tom Woods should make more money than LeBron James. I think Bob Murphy and Lou Rockwell and Jeff Dice, I think Walter Block, I think all of them should make fucking $50 million a year because what they're doing for humanity is incredible. Okay? But it would be immoral for me to decide that I know better than all these fucking people who are paying to see LeBron James play basketball, and I'm gonna go out and fucking rob them. Or threaten to fucking hurt them if they don't fucking give their money to the Mises Institute. That would be wrong. So it has nothing to do with saying that the distribution or whatever, that income, pre-tax incomes are all moral. It's like, no, they're just kind of not moral or immoral, right? Life isn't fair. I don't know what to say. Like, there could be some really hot chick who you have a huge crush on. You're like really into this hot chick, and she decides to go sleep with some jerk, and she's not interested in you, and she wants to go fuck some guy who's an asshole. Like, okay, is that moral that she wants to do that? I don't know, it's kind of amoral, and maybe you could even argue it's unfair, because you're like a better guy, and you've been nicer to her, or whatever, whatever you're just, like, you can feel however you feel about it. There's nothing particularly moral about her wanting to go, oh, excuse me, sorry guys. One sec. Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, as I was saying, if some chick wants to go, you know, sleep with some other guy who's a jerk, it's not that there's anything particularly moral about that, but if you fucking rape her because she's trying to go sleep with someone else, because so you can correct the immoral distribution or the immoral, you know, like what this guy's receiving. Yeah, that's horrifically immoral. Okay, so it has nothing to do with saying that the first distribution was moral. It's all about the action itself. And by the way, this guy hasn't even made an argument for how it's not theft. He's basically just saying that it's not fair the way it's distributed first, so it's okay for us to steal it. God damn. All right. Well, let me just finish this thing up, because I think we're getting close to the end. All right. Your pre-tax income isn't the money you deserve. It's the money the amoral market has gifted you. Okay, by the way, you have... I'll agree with that in some sense. Because what does deserve even mean? What are we, fucking 8 years old? I don't know, man. I don't know. It's what someone was willing to give you. And yeah, it is kind of amoral. You're right. It's not necessarily moral. Maybe sometimes it is. Maybe sometimes it isn't. Okay? But that's not the question here. You're talking about whether taxation is theft. Is that moral? And obviously no. A government may have cause to respect the whims of the market as a matter of practical necessity. And by the way, the whims of the market is another word for saying the whims of people. So it, again, the example that I just gave you with the chick wanting to bang some other guy, it's exactly that. I mean, what, do we have to respect the whims of this woman? Right? Okay, so it's just her whim that she wants to go bang this other guy. But we can still understand that she owns her fucking body. And if you want to rape her, that's immoral. Does it? Yeah, it's on her whim. Okay, so yeah, it's an amoral whim that she wants to go bang this other guy. But that doesn't get into the, obviously, what is the central question here? Is it her body or not? And the answer is yes. So maybe there are the whims of markets, but that doesn't answer the question. Is it his money or not? And obviously yes. Alright, but the state has no moral reason. By the way, emphasis on moral, his, not mine. The state has no moral reason. The only legitimate bar to redistribution is economic reality. This isn't even a stupid argument. It's not even a fucking argument. Any politician who thinks it a good thing in and of itself to give people more of, quote, their money is confused. Yeah, I would say that you're the one who's confused, and you're writing for a fucking site called Tax Justice, which is a fucking oxymoron. God damn it. God damn it. How stupid do you have to be convinced by this? I'm sorry. I know I'm coming off like a little bit of an asshole in this episode, but am I crazy? How fucking stupid do you have to be swayed by an article like this? How stupid do you have to write an article like this? Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, I'll be completely honest. I'm questioning whether or not that was worth spending time on. But you know what? It's done. It's done, and I'm just about out of time, because I gotta go run over to the Soho Forum. So anyway, guys, look, sorry, this was a little bit of a short one, but hey, I gave you two episodes on Friday, huh? And they were two good ones, right? Roger Stone, and of course, the great Scott Horton. And I'll be back on Friday with a brand new episode. I love you all. Dear God, I hope this didn't skip. It looks like it's not skipping. All right, talk to you soon. Peace.